Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at 256-837-8730. Worship is held every Sunday morning at 9, with Bible study following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5 on Sunday evenings. Wednesday Bible study is held Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. Now we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owens.
I want to say good morning to everyone. What a beautiful, beautiful Lord's Day it is. Thankful that each one of you are here today. Now, my friend Glenn is in Haleyville, I believe, preaching a meeting this week. I believe that's 9th Avenue Church of Christ, where Andy Kaiser preaches, and he's a great gospel preacher as well. So we want to remember him and for the success of that meeting. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 25, Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse 14. This will be our text today. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 came 2 more also. But he who had received the 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received the 5 talents came and brought the 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also, who had received the 2 talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. And the Lord said to him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Then you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And in my coming, I would have received it back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he who has an abundance. But for him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let's bow in prayer. Our God and Father, we are so very thankful for your word. We're so thankful for this parable that your son gave. Lord, this contains such great truth and we're so thankful for it. Lord, how those parables sometimes can make the truth inescapable to us and make us really sit down and think, not just about the words on the page, but also about the character of our own lives. Lord, we pray that we will take this portion of your word today and put it into our hearts and leave here today committed to it. Convict us where we need convicting and encourage us in those things that we are already doing that is in accordance with your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. After we believe, we obey. A person who has read the gospel of Jesus Christ or heard the gospel of Jesus Christ has faith in that word, that it is the word of God. That person looks at their own life and realizes that it is sin that stands between he or she and God. So that person repents. A word that means to change one's mind, to change one's behavior. And with their mouth before men and women, they make the good confession that they believe that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of the living God. And they are buried in baptism for the remission of their sins into Christ. What they do is they obey the gospel. See, the gospel is not just a story to be shared, but it's a commandment that is to be obeyed. 2 Thessalonians 1:8, 1 Peter 4:17. And then that person, just like the Christians back in Acts 2:41, are added to the Lord's church. And then we are charged in the Bible to live faithful unto death. Revelation 2:10. What does that mean? That means that we are to work and that we are to serve. Years ago, a poet wrote about the importance of our involvement in our service. This is what he said. He said, "Leave it to the ministers and soon the church will die. Leave it to the women folk and the young will pass it by." He said, "For the church is all that lifts us from the coarse and selfish mob. For the church that is to prosper needs the member on the job. Now the member has his business and the member has his joys, but he also has the training of the little girls and boys." And I wonder how he would like it if there were no children here and he had to raise his children in a godless atmosphere. You see, serving becomes more than just a basic issue when we realize without the serving servants, the work of God will not go forward. The job of the ministry is not to do all of the work, but equip those who are within the body to do the work. The job of the shepherds is not just to do the work, but is to encourage the congregation to do the work. And it is appalling as we look out at the church of our Lord today that see that the 80-20 principle is alive and well. It's a principle that is written in secular magazines, maybe business journals and others, but it is certainly true of the church. That 80% of the work is done by 20% of the membership. And it's true in so many churches across our land, where you have a small portion of people within the body doing the work of the church, while the vast majority of the church, they participate in things like fellowship and eating and celebrations and showers and those kind of things, but never get involved. And the sad and tragic story of a non-serving body is this. Not only does the church at large, the congregation, suffer, not only does the church universal suffer, but those people who are not involved in stewardship of service or robbing themselves from the greatest joy that there is and being part of the family of God. I know you feel this way. But if all of a sudden, if there was some reason that I could no longer serve the God that I love, there would be an emptiness in my heart. There would be a void. Isn't that the way you feel? I mean, a great portion of my life would be missing. And sometimes I wonder, how do people who are not busy serving God get on with life? How do they make it from one day to the next? How do they possibly get up in the morning with enough enthusiasm to make it through the day if they are not busy at the Master's work? Well, the parable that we have before us today is all about that. It's about serving the Lord. It's written to help us understand that our responsibility between the Lord's ascension in Acts 1 and His return. Matter of fact, these parables in Matthew chapter 25, if you read them, were really in response to the questions of the disciples back in the beginning of chapter 24. A couple of their questions was, "Lord, what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" You see, they were just as curious as we were when Jesus began to talk to them and talk to them about the fact that He was going to die and that He was going to leave and be gone for a period of time. The disciples' minds were filled with all kinds of curious questions. And they said, Lord, when are you coming back? What will be the sign of your coming? And so he told them some parables, not only to teach them some truth about his second coming, but also basically to teach them what they were supposed to do with their lives in the meantime. So the parables of Matthew 25 are basically given to us to help us understand our responsibility during the Christian age. So if you take all the parables here and you combine them and you summarize them, you could come up with three words. Three of the major responsibilities of a Christian. To wait, to watch, and to work. Now some of the parables deal with the waiting and the watching, such as the one that precedes the one that we're talking about today. But this parable does not major on the waiting and the watching. However, it majors on the working. It teaches a very valuable lesson concerning your responsibility in mine. Now, to understand this parable, we have to comprehend the fact, the reason behind the story, the reason behind the principle, the reason behind the stewardship. And look in verse 14 of our text. He says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. So the Lord Jesus told his disciples about a wealthy man. He was probably a wealthy landowner who had a large estate, who had many goods and much wealth. In his care was also a number of servants whom he trusted. And because of the fact that he was going to have to go away on a long journey to a far country, he called these servants together. He says, look, I'm going to be absent from the administration of my business. And I'm going to have to be gone for a long time. And so what I want you to do in my absence, I want you to manage my business, my wealth, my assets. And I hope that you will manage it well. And then he left. Now the word that we have in our text is the word talents. He gave them some talents. Now it's unfortunate that our word talent comes from this setting. Because many people read this parable and they say, well, this has to do with our abilities. But it really has nothing to do with our abilities. While the application can be made to our abilities, it has nothing to do with our abilities. A talent was a type of money, was a kind of money that they used back in that time. I can further help you by telling you that a talent was worth 6,000 denarius. You say, well, that's good. What's that? Well, a denarius was a day's wage, so 6,000, about 20 years of wages. One talent. Today, in our economy, it would be worth somewhere around $1 million. Quite a bit of money, isn't it? And so the master is going to go away on a long journey. So he calls one servant together to him and he says, look, here's one talent. I want you to take care of it. He calls another. He says, here's two talents. I want you to watch over it. He calls another. He says, look, here's five talents. You take care of it. And then he left. And then he went away to the far country. Now, what I want you to notice, and I want you to note here, is a very important truth, that this was not their money. It was his money that they were managing on his behalf. And that's important. Jesus Christ came from the Father. He has returned back to the Father. He will come again. But until that time, he has come to us through the instruction of his word. And he has said, Paul, look, here is something I want you to manage. Take care of it, Kelly. Here is something I want you to manage. You take care of it, Clint. And to all of us who are his servants, he has entrusted a certain amount of that which is his. And he says, I want you to take care of it. I want you to administrate it. I want you to manage it. I want you to make sure that it prospers in abundance. So you see that the reason behind the stewardship is the absent Lord who's coming back. I want to share with you today four principles from this text. First of all, these talents were given according to the sovereignty of God. They were given according to the sovereignty of God. I mean, you can read this passage backwards and forward and all the other passages that you want. And humanly speaking, from a human perspective, you will never find one reason why one was given one, two, and one, five. And you wouldn't worry about that if you're the five talent man, but if you were the one talent man, you might worry about that. You might be saying, you know what? Why have I been given more? Why do I just have this one talent? And let me share with you, the only reason for that is this, that our opportunities, our talents, our stewardships are given by the sovereign God. He can do that. You say, how did he end up giving 1, 1, 1, 2, and 1, 5? He's the Lord. He has the right to do it. He's sovereign. He's in control. So they were given by the sovereign Lord. But secondly, I want you to see that they were distributed according to the steward's capacity or ability. Look down in verse 15. It says, each according to his own ability. So the talents were given according to the steward's or the servant's ability. Now, in the economy of that time, no doubt that had to do with their physical ability, maybe their vocational skills. So the Lord looked down and he saw one person and he said, well, you know, I think he can handle five and I think I'll give him five. Here's another man that can handle two. I'll give him two. And he sure was right about the one talent man, wasn't he? But the third principle, that these talents were also given as opportunity. Now, I want you to follow my logic carefully. I said it was unfortunate that in this text, the English meaning of the word talent often obscures the meaning of the parable. Confusing as it may seem, that talent in this parable does not refer to a man's talent or capability. That is evident from the fact that the Scripture says in the Bible that he gave every man some talents according to his own ability. And that would be duplicity in the worst form. You wouldn't say you gave a man ability according to his ability. You wouldn't say that you gave a man talents according to his ability if the word talents means ability. But the word talent in our text means opportunity. What he gave them was the opportunity to demonstrate their ability to take that which belonged to the Lord and do something with it. And what we're talking about this morning in service is the stewardship of our opportunities. What he gave the five talent man was the opportunity to take those five talents and invest them. He gave the two talent man the opportunity to take those two talents out and invest them. And he did the same with the one talent man. And he has given all of us the opportunity to serve him in some measure. But it's what we do with that, which is in question in this parable. It is how we do that that is before us today. And then one final principle here. The talents were given with responsibility. According to God's sovereignty, they were distributed according to their ability as opportunity and now with responsibility. And I think the thing that we need to zero in on right here this morning is this fact that this was not their money. If you could just take a big word and write it over this text, it might be the word ownership. Who is involved in ownership? And so we could make the application today, and that is that it's not that you have wasted some of your opportunity because it's not your opportunity. Wasted some of your money because it's not your money. Wasted some of your ability because it's not your ability. It's God. So the issue here is ownership. That we can take that which belongs to the Lord, that He has given stewardship over, and we can take it and we can invest it for Him. It is His. Even our opportunities belong to Him. All that we are belong to Him. Do you realize that's what happened when you were baptized into Jesus Christ? Matter of fact, Paul will say in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, that you are not your own. You were bought with a price. You were purchased with the price of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. So we don't own anything if we belong to Him. I mean, everything that I have, that I own, everything I possess, everything that I am, my family, it all belongs to Him. Even our opportunities belong to Him. You say, well, Paul, what's the big deal about that? Well, the big deal about that is when you get to the rest, to the end of the parable, what you see is the master whose opportunities that either you have invested or that you have wasted is coming back and you have to give an account. Let's look at our text and let's see what happens to these stewards. Verse 16 and verse 17, then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received the 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received the 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. When you come to the reward of the good stewards, you see very clearly the Lord's priorities on the investment of life. Now, it's interesting to me that the 2-talent man and the 5-talent man heard the exact same words. Did you notice that? If you look in verse 21, look in verse 23, and you will see the exact same words. What in the world does that mean? Well, what that means is this. It has nothing to do with the amount that has been entrusted to you, but it has everything to do with what you do that has been given to you. If you only have 2, well, guess what? You're only responsible to be faithful and invest those 2. If you have 5, you're responsible to invest those 5. And if you have 1, you're only responsible for that 1. But we can be faithful in any of those capacities and hear the exact same message from the Lord. Isn't that great? He basically did 3 things to them. First thing he did, he commended them. He said, well done. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. The second thing, he promoted them. Did you notice that in the text? He promoted them. He said, look, you have been faithful in a few things. I'm going to make you a ruler over many. And then the third thing he did was he invited them. He said, enter into the joy of your Lord. So the 2-talent man and the 5-talent man heard the same message. But I want to stop here just for a moment and share with you the one thing that separated them from the 3rd steward. It is one principle, and I think we ought to talk about it just for a moment, because sometimes when it comes to serving, some of us gets lost. The principle could be summarized in the word risk. The 5-talent man and the 2-talent man were willing to risk because it belonged to the Lord, and they wanted to go out and they wanted to do something with it. And so they were bold and they were aggressive. And they did something with what God had given them. But the 1-talent man, he was afraid. He didn't want to take any risk. And so he hid his Lord's money. He didn't want to take the risk. So he hid his Lord's money. He hid $1 million. Do you know what the most common excuse is for not serving? You know what it is? I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I mean, I might not know how to do it. I have never done this before. I can't do it as well as he or she can do it. You see, the opportunity that you would like for me to buy up in the master's behalf, you see, I would like to do it, but I'm not willing to risk it. Notice what happens when the Lord has the opportunity to reprimand the evil steward. I mean, almost as many verses are given with what went wrong with the evil steward, the entire passage. In verses 24 in our text through verse 30. He's a study in contrast, is he not? Well, the immediate reaction of the other 2 was to take theirs and immediately invest it. He wanted to hide his. I want to remind you that he did. He hid $1 million in the ground. How would you like to be in your garden digging around and come upon that kind of buried treasure? That'd be nice, wouldn't it? But he did risk something, didn't he? You see, he risked something because he risked in the wrong direction by not risking in the right direction. Somebody could have come along and taken what he already had. Like in the parable of the hidden treasure. That could have been him. So the Lord addresses him. And listen to what he says. The first thing he did is he confronted him. He said, "You wicked and you lazy servant." Now, he didn't waste his master's time like the unjust steward in Luke 16:1. He didn't waste all that he had in wild living, prodigal living, like the prodigal son did in Luke 15:13. He wasn't 10,000 talents in debt like the unmerciful servant in Matthew chapter 18, verse 24. But he just took what the Lord gave him and he did nothing with it. That's the reason that he was condemned. You say, "Well, Paul, isn't that a neutral sin?" No, it's not a neutral sin. Sometimes we think that the sins of omission are not as difficult to deal with as the sins of commission. But the text here does not bear that out. To he who knows to do good and does it not, what is it? To him it is sin. Well, the second thing he did was to correct him. He corrected him. He said, "Look, this is what you should have done. You could have at least taken it to the bank and bought a CD of the day. Well, when I came back, I could have got it back with interest." Some of you may say, "You know what? I don't have the daring to stand up and be a Bible class teacher. I could never do that." Well, that's fine. That's okay. But you know, you could be involved in something else. You could be involved in the hospital ministry. You could be involved in transportation, maybe driving the van. Ladies could be involved in maybe the Dorcas program, the seam work, the hot meals program. I mean, we have all kinds of things. I've got a list here of some 42 of our works. But the point is that I want to get across today is get involved in some capacity. But don't bury what the Lord has given you. Don't do it. Do you know what would happen if more Christians would take the opportunity that was intended for them, invest that opportunity, maximize that opportunity? I mean, some of the tired people who are carrying all the load could back off a little bit and there would be more joy. And the work of God would move forward like you wouldn't believe. So the message is, look, if you don't use it or you abuse it, you will lose it. God will take the opportunity that He intended for you and it will begin to move in the path of somebody else. And so you're back to the 80-20 principle again, aren't you? That's the way it works in the kingdom of God. Negligence is punished. Diligence and faithfulness is honored. Well, what can we say in conclusion? Well, there was a time of accounting. There was a time of accounting. And that's what Paul said. He said, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Can you imagine you being the five-talent man? I mean, just imagine with me for a moment. And another servant comes and he says, "Look, the master's coming home. He's coming home." And what do? I mean, you go back there in the bathroom and you get a shower and you shave and you comb your hair and you put on your best suit and he walks in the door. You're right there. "Welcome home, master. Let me tell you what I did. I took your 5 talents and I gained 5 more. He says, "Well done. You are a faithful servant." And then here comes the 2-talent man. And he says, "You know, I didn't get as much as he did, but I did the same thing as he did. I doubled what you gave me." And he says, "Well done." He said, "Where's Joe?" "Oh, Joe. I'm sure he's around here somewhere." So the master finds Job behind the barn. He says, "Well, how about it? What did you do?" He said, "Oh," he said, "I was afraid." And you read the rest of the passage and it's nothing more than one big excuse. "I was afraid. I knew you were a hard man. I know you reap where you don't sow. I wanted to do something with it, but I didn't know what, so I buried it." And do you know how he responded to his excuses? He said, well, in that case, if you were afraid or you thought I was a hard man, then I guess that's okay. He didn't say that. He said, you are wicked and you are lazy, you are convicted and you are condemned. The truth is that we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That is the truth. And on that day, do you want to be a five-talent man? Do you want to be a two-talent man? Or do you want to be like this one-talent man? I want to be the five-talent man, don't you? Here's the good news. I have good news this morning. The 80-20 principle, and sometimes it's even the 90-10 principle, it's not that way at West Huntsville. Did some math today. I have a chart in my office, and some of you have seen it. It has every member's name, and it has all of our works, and then it has little dots for who is doing what in this church. I'm proud to say that it is the 168 principle. 100% of the work is being done by 68% of you, over 217. And I don't know many churches that can say that. So well done. But you know what? That 68 needs to be 100, doesn't it? And so we have a lot of our deacons and heads of work that have gone downstairs and they've looked at this chart, and many of them have your names. And they may come and ask you, would you be involved in my work and the work that I oversee? And won't that be great? And I know that you'll do it. And this church will move forward. And we can do more for God. I know it's tough. Some of you people never get a pat on the back. Some of you work behind the scenes and no one ever says a word up here from the pulpit about it. So what is your reward? There was a couple that had been doing missionary work in Africa for years. They were returning to the United States and they were going to retire. They didn't have a pension. Their health was broken. They were discouraged, defeated, and they were afraid. But they discovered that also booked on the same ship that they were on was the president, Teddy Roosevelt. I mean, he was coming back from one of his big game expeditions in Africa. And so they were watching all the fanfare accompanied by the president's entourage. And watching passengers who were straining, just trying to get a peek, a look at this great man. But as that old ship went across the ocean, the old missionary said, you know, he said, something's wrong. He said, here we have given our whole lives in faithful service to God. We've worked all these many years in Africa and nobody cares. And here's this man coming back from a hunting trip and everybody makes a big to-do over him, but nobody cares about us. His wife said, honey, you know, you really shouldn't think that way. He said, I can't help it. It's not fair. Well, the ship docked and there was a band waiting for the president to greet him. There was the mayor and the dignitaries. The newspaper was full of his arrival. But nobody spoke to the missionary couple. They slipped off that ship. They rented them a very cheap apartment in hopes to go out the next day and find something that they could continue making a living. And that night, that missionary, his heart broke and he looked at his wife and he said, God is not treating us fairly. She said, well, why don't you go in the bedroom and you tell him that? So that's what he did. He came out a few minutes later. But his face was completely changed. She said, honey, what happened? He said, I was telling God of my bitterness. About the president on a hunting trip coming back and receiving such a great homecoming. And when we came back, nobody greeted us when we came home. Nobody. He said, but it was at that moment in my prayer, I remembered the great truth. She said, "What's that?" He said, "We are not home yet. We're not home yet." So my encouragement to you today is, let's keep working. The reward is not here. The reward is there. That's what Paul was talking about. That's what Paul was trying to get us to do in 1 Corinthians 15:58. He said, "My beloved brethren," he said, "be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For your labor, your service is not in vain." What will we hear when we get before our Lord? "Well done, thy good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." And I know that's what we'll do. This morning, if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, will you do so? We've already talked about the plan of salvation at the beginning of the lesson. But if you need to make a change, will you do it? If you're not involved in the work of the Lord, will you get involved? Will you be a faithful steward of the time and opportunity and energy that you have left upon this earth? If you are involved in the work of the Lord, keep on keeping on. Keep on encouraging us and the rest of the membership. If you have a need, please stand as we stand and sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.